and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob has clarified that the reintroduction of the GST is not a done deal and the impact of its implementation is still being studied. Now, this after he was reported as saying that the GST would be able to expand the country's income and that his government does not rule out the possibility of restoring the tax system to boost federal coffers. But is it time to resurrect the GST in Malaysia? Let's ask our first guest tonight. Economist Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi joins us now. Nungsari, where do you stand on the debate as to whether or not GST should be reintroduced in Malaysia?
I'm one of those who always believe that the GST as a fiscal tool is a good tool. It's an effective tool that captures most transactions in the economy. Higher amount of revenues as it did in 2017, 2016 compared to the FSC. But the question is actually a question of not effectiveness, a question of timing. I think just to propose the reintroduction of GST just by itself without a formal, thorough, comprehensive review of the overall fiscal framework, you know, looking at other sources of revenues, looking at what can be done to expand sales and what to do about liabilities, it's not the right way to do it. You have to be part of a broader, more comprehensive reform and really look at the full picture, not just introducing the GST as a means to just increase revenue.
Right. Nungsari, we're having some audio difficulty. I think it's quite difficult to make out the audio. We're going to try and get you back on the line. We will be back with economist Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi talking about his thoughts on whether or not the GST should be reintroduced in Malaysia. Is it a question of timing? Let's ask him after this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. We've got Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi back on the line to tell us, Nungsari, where do you stand in the debate of whether or not to reintroduce GST?
So I'm one of those that has been on record to say that the GST is a very good fiscal tool, you know, not just a tax, but a fiscal tool that formalizes the whole economy, that is able to generate lots of revenue and so on. So the efficacy and the effectiveness of GST is not the issue here. It's actually about the timeliness and the appropriateness of applying that tool. And I think given that it's just being proposed as a means to increase revenue without looking at the more broader issue of fiscal reform, you know, whether it is looking at other sources of revenue or looking at actually doing something about expenditures, or bringing it together with the liability management, I disagree, especially now because a lot of people are in dire straits and the economy is basically a consumption economy. If you apply a GST right now, you know, like 70% of the economy is consumption, so you're going to hit people quite bad without being offered, you know, alternatives or a more comprehensive look at the overall fiscal policy.
Nungsari, what is preventing that broader application of the GST, or rather the application of GST within the broader terms that you laid out in terms of reform, in terms of the way in which government spends money and thinks about those expenditures? Is it a question of politics? Is that where it's at?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not easy to, for example, on the expenditure side. You know, I don't believe that there's enough will to actually cut a lot of fat from it. There's also not enough will to delay and you know, some huge mega projects that have future implications in terms of expenditures. There's also not enough, I think, creativity to look at other sources of revenue. On the revenue side, you know, I mean, people have been dancing around capital gains tax or some sort of wealth tax, we've not even looked at windfall taxes. There were companies, a lot of companies did badly. There were companies who benefited from the pandemic. So I don't think it's about capabilities. It's actually about leadership in trying to do an overall revamp of the treasury, of fiscal policy.
Do you think that those conversations, those considerations are being weighed in addition to the GST? We know, we hear from the Prime Minister that the government is doing a study to determine the implications, the impact of reintroducing GST. Do you think that at the same time, simultaneously, there might be considerations of other measures for fiscal reform?
Yeah, I think the trigger to all of this might have been because there's an unbudgeted increase in subsidies, from 4 billion to 28 billion, whatever. There might have been shortfall in collection. So I'm sure that different parts of the government looking at revenues, alternative sources of revenues, those are looking at savings and expenditures, they're all there. It's putting them together and actually having a slightly longer view of how government finances ought to be in the next, say, 3-4 years. But I think politically, that's very difficult horizon to have right now, 3-4 years. So they're just thinking about next election. I don't think they're ever going to introduce GST before the election, though.
I think we're going to talk to Ben Sufyan about that, about the not just how to communicate the GST, but who's going to want to bring this bad news to the population before the elections. But I want to ask you about the effort it took to set up the whole GST system, and then once the cost was all kind of like factored in and all kinds of economic activities were aligned to do the GST system, Pakatan Harapan comes to power and puts a stop to it. Do you think that was a wrong move? Could they have done it better? Could they have just reduced the rate to zero, whatever it is, so that the cost of reintroducing GST at some point will not be phenomenal?
Yeah, because what happened was there were pieces of legislation that were introduced to implement the GST, not only legislation, but also systems and processes. I think what Pakatan Harapan ought to have done, 4 years ago, was to just zero-rated the whole thing, right? And leave the system and the legislation alone. And if that were to be the case, then to get restarted on it would be much faster and easier. Because you zero-rate the whole thing, but you have the system and processes in place instead of removing the legislation and the system altogether. It'll take some time to get back, if I would.
All right. Can I ask you...
Flip-flop, sorry.
Sorry, go ahead, Sharad. Follow up.
Sorry. Is this kind of flip-flop bad for the economy? And, we go from administration to administration with, varying ideas about how they should run this government. Is that going to be bad for business?
Yeah, there's uncertainty in terms of actually, if you're running a business, it's very bad because you don't know how to account for costs, and sometimes there are delays, and delays are also costs. You see, they're making up between. I was looking at the numbers. I think SST is bringing about 27, 28 billion. GST brought in about 44. So we're talking about some 17 billion sort of shortfall between GST and SST. I think the problem with the government finances is much larger than 18 billion. So that's why I'm trying to say, actually, GST is just one possibility, but there are other sorts of tinkering that ought to be done and give businesses a sense of certainty, at least. But I think we're not going to get that, to be honest, until the election.
Okay. All right. Well, who stands to lose, Nungsari, from the reintroduction of GST, regardless of when it will be? It may prove to be an unpopular decision, but who might stand to lose the most? Is it the public? Is it the politicians?
Now, if you look in terms of the economic pain, if you look at the composition of the economy, if you look at, private consumption is more than half the economy, and then there's a bit of public consumption, government spending. you know, 50% over of the economy is private consumption. If you introduce GST, those are the people who are going to pay the economic pain. The political pain will have to come, will have to be paid by the politicians. But actually, in terms of people, there will be households and businesses. Businesses is more of a tedious processes to go through, but household in terms of the actual pain, in terms of whatever 5-6% that they're thinking of.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, we have a little bit of time left. Sorry, can we just ask one quick question? How muddled is our thinking about GST? If you listen to the debates from politicians, from the public, is it muddled?
Yeah, it is muddled because the way it was introduced last time was very poor. The communications were poor. The way they went from creating all kinds of exemptions that became very confusing, and then the way the rebates were processed were unclear. And at the same time, it was seen by many as a way to increase revenue to cover holes that were created in some other shenanigans instead of a total tax reform, right? And so people have a very bad taste in their mouth in terms of what GST is. And the norm, you know, people on the ground and businesses especially are wary about this sort of thing. So, but it's not a bad thing, like I said, but it has to be done in a way that fits a broader, more comprehensive look at things.
Appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Nungsari. That was economist Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi. Then we're going to take another quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. The attempt to broaden the tax base using a GST system has both economic and political dimensions. But in this current climate, which will prevail? Joining us now, the Executive Director of Merdeka Center, we have Ibrahim Sufian, better known as Ben. Ben, we spoke to economist Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi a bit earlier, and he said that the weaknesses or the muddled communication GST was first introduced in 2015 had left a bad taste in the public's mouth, metaphorically, over the issue of GST. And I'm just wondering what the Merdeka Center has, whether it has done any surveys to kind of gauge public sentiment since on GST. How unpopular is the GST really?
Well, I mean, when the GST came into the picture in the first quarter of 2016, carried out, you know, a series of surveys related to that in the beginning of the year of 2015. So we're talking about 7 years ago. Most people were unaware, but as the government communications intensified to educate members of the public that we should grow and share together, the negativity began to rise. And in part, it culminated at a difficult point by the middle of that same year, because that was also the time when the 1MDB scandal broke. I think it was sometime towards the end of July. So we have continued to ask public about their sentiments on taxes every now and then. But one of the things that left a negative perception with the members of the public was that the GST came right at the same time when we had that scandal. And a lot of people, even in the remotest part of the country, could equate that their tax dollars, the tax ringgit that they have to pay, some of which will have to fill up that hole created by the 1MDB scandal. So I think since then, you know, when we looked at 2018 election, you know, a lot of people were transfixed by the bigger unfolding drama about leadership, but we detected that the underlying negativity, you know, stemmed from the introduction of the GST. And so up to now, basically, most members of the public, you know, majority of them, you know, do not want the GST back. even though they don't quite understand how it's going to work, how it's going to assist them in helping address the public service needs of the nation.
Yeah, this is, you know, a very interesting point, because people want good public services. They want their the holes in their roads to be patched, but they don't necessarily want to be taxed. And the tax base of this country, I mean, Melissa, myself, probably you too, Ben, actually pay taxes. But we are a small minority and perhaps slightly resentful as well. So I want to ask you, you know, is there a larger problem here? Do Malaysians actually understand the demands that they make on government and how and the limitations that government have in terms of fulfilling that if they don't give government the tools to raise the money to pay for these services?
Well, I mean, for the longest period of its existence, our country has been blessed with natural resources, particularly since the early 70s onwards with the discovery of petroleum and gas, such that we also live under this resource curse. The government has continuously supported the public by subsidies, and the money for these subsidies has to come from somewhere. And in our conversations with ordinary members of the public, certain segments of the business community, not all, but some, there is, I think, a disconnect between what they expect the government to do and to provide for the public interest as opposed to where the government is going to source the funds for it. Somehow, a lot of discussion has always been about we need assistance for this, we need allocation for that, infrastructure, but there's no debate or discussion about where the funds are going to come from. Now, I think, like what Sharad mentioned, you know, I think 80% of the Malaysian workforce do not pay income tax. Most of our taxes are paid by corporations or by the GLCs and a small fragment of the workforce. So the vast majority of Malaysian households don't really pay tax, except for maybe local council taxes. So for many people, there is a disconnect between what they expect the government to provide for and where the money is going to come from. And the nature of the public debate in Malaysia doesn't help as well, you know. And I think here the opposition and the ruling parties have always argued over taxes, and there's a great deal of populism being thrown about by both sides, you know. And then at the end of the day, it doesn't educate the public about government finances. And I think now it's reached a point where the government has to tax more, it has to broaden its tax base. And hence the discussion about the GST being reconsidered for re-implementation.
All right. Well, Nungsari, economist Nungsari just now mentioned that he doesn't think it's likely that the GST will be introduced before GE15, despite the desperate need for it because of unbudgeted subsidies due to rising global prices. What do you think, Ben, in terms of timing? Is it just about a matter of timing as to when to reintroduce GST and who has to bite the bullet and you know, deliver that news to the public?
Well, certainly, I agree with Dr. Nungsari that it's a matter of timing. In terms of need, it's not just Malaysia, but I think many governments around the world, you know, have dug deep into debt and have gone into deficit territory in order to finance the COVID relief for businesses, for households affected by the pandemic and the economic growth slowdown. So has the need to broaden the tax base. But at the same time, we also have this impending election supposed to happen anywhere between the next 6 to 12 months. And so I think if there's any reintroduction, it will be after the general elections are held. So it might be about maybe a year before we see the GST come back. And it also is dependent on the kind of confidence that any future government has. If they have a large majority, then I think they might be able to pull through. But if it's a patchy government as the one that we currently have, then I think it's going to be very difficult for the GST to be passed. perception that the debate or discourse about GST was instrumental in the victory of Pakatan Harapan in 2018. Is GST a poison chalice for any stakeholder who wants to win power in Putrajaya?
It is, you know, in part by the nature of debate. For, I think, the longest time, the average Malaysian has this view that the government is omnipotent, that the government has, deep pockets from which it can fund, public needs and all that. And also, the discussion about the nature of public finance hasn't really been made very clear. So I think the average person on the street, when they are voting, could be influenced by cash transfers, by promises in a national budget about goodies that they're going to be handed out. So a lot of the public discussion about government finances is always about what am I going to get from the government, and not about how is the government going to fund itself, how is the government going to address the more critical needs in order to propel the country moving forward. So, for example, just one short example, most people don't realize that the government's tax revenue is not enough to cover salaries of its civil servants, and that they have to rely on dividends from Petronas and other extraordinary income to make ends meet. So that in alone speaks of, I think, the lack of knowledge. And so what more about GST? So when you have GST, I think it's very good because not only you broaden the tax base, but it also increases government accountability over how it uses its funds. So I think one of the biggest mistakes for Pakatan was to actually end it at that, 2018.
Ben, thank you for joining us on the show. Ibrahim Sufian there from Merdeka Center, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.
And good night.